Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Great, good morning, how are we all doing? Guys, it's great to really minister and share the last month of 2019. Can you believe we're in December and it's quite freaky? You know, you can start saying 2020. I remember when I was like a 7-8-year-old boy and I'd watch the sci-fi movies. The year 2020. That's in a few weeks' time. Isn't that incredible? Time moves on. Things are happening. I want to share with you this morning, for those who are taking notes, I want to share around the power of testimony. Power of testimony. Make some notes here this morning, because we are going into an incredible season in 2020 where we're going to be diving into the book of Acts, which really is the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done through the church, through the apostles, and into the nations of the world. And do you know that you're living in, could be Acts 30. You could be living in Acts 35. Who knows? But the book of Acts doesn't end. Have you noticed that? There's no definitive end of Acts. Why? Because we're the continuation of the book of Acts into the future church history and when Jesus ultimately comes back. Please, if you can, turn, open your Bibles. We love having the kids in here. Don't be distracted with the kiddies. They're a blessing. Revelations chapter 19 is going to be my foundational scripture this morning. And I want to share around the power, as I've said, of testimony. Comes out, Revelations 19, 10 says this: "At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus.'" Now, I want you to unpack this a little bit. This is going to be my foundational scripture this morning. Notice this. You've got to hold to the testimony of Jesus. Notice this. The angel says, the ones who hold to the testimony of Jesus. A testimony can either be laid down or a testimony can either be held. I want to ask you this morning, what testimony are you going into 2020 with? It cannot be your testimony alone. Because the reason why you've got a testimony is because of the testimony of Jesus. Amen. You've got a testimony of healing. Why? Because who healed you? Jesus Christ. You've got a testimony of provision. Who provided? Jesus Christ. You carry a testimony because why? You're holding to the testimony of Jesus Christ. I really felt prophetically this morning, we must not be surprised with the increase in angelic visitation in our meetings. Who's wanting that? But let me bring some beautiful correction. The angel turns around and says this: don't worship me. Together with you, we're going to worship and hold to Jesus Christ. Simply this, there are many churches that I think go a little bit too far and beyond into angelic hosts and visitation. I tell you, I'm all for it, because simply what happens when angelic hosts break in, all that's happened is the realm to come, the eternal realm, breaks into the present. That's what's happening. But we are to worship Jesus and hold to the testimony that Jesus has. When it says the spirit of prophecy, it's the testimony of Jesus. I think sometimes, what is that spirit of prophecy? Well, I think it's twofold. Number one, there are men and women who flow in the prophetic gifting. And let me say this, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There has been much abuse through church history around the prophetic. Amen? Maybe some of you have had a very abusive word. Don't throw the baby out. Let me tell you, prophetic is God's original intention. Prophetic is simply the proclamation of the age to come presently. Do you know that? Don't be scared of it. It needs to be stewarded. But I think prophetic is twofold. One, is when someone gets given a word on this date, on this time, God's going to do something. That's part of the prophetic. Let me say that's one spoke of the wheel. Here, when John says that the spirit of prophecy bears testimony to Jesus, can I tell you what that spirit of prophecy, I believe, means here? Listen carefully. It's when, through the Spirit, we declare and testify of Jesus, the age to come breaks in and changes present reality. Let me say that again. When we testify of Christ, what happens is it releases a prophetic utterance. It releases the age to come into the present and changes present reality. When someone is sick and diagnosed with cancer, what happens is, through faith, we testify of Jesus. What happens is the kingdom releases and the present reality of cancer is removed. How does that happen? Simply this: the age to come breaks into the present and alters present reality. That's the spirit of prophecy. Amen. So let me ask you this question. Who has seen the prophetic age to come break into your present? Amen. This is what happens. Let's keep going. The word testimony says a solemn declaration. This is the definition of testimony. A solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. Such affirmation in judicial proceedings may be verbal or written, but it must be under oath. Okay? Testimony differs from evidence. Testimony is the declaration of a witness. Notice that word. Declaration of a witness and evidence in the effect of that declaration on the mind or the degree of light which it affords. You see, when we testify of Christ and when the apostles saw him raised, they would be witness to his resurrection. Where was the evidence? The evidence was the scarred hands. You see, evidence and testimony is not the same thing. The evidence is proving what has been testified about. It's proving what's been witnessed. When the guys see Jesus Christ raised from the dead, then Thomas says, I will only believe when I have the evidence. And Jesus, in his grace, says, Thomas, oh dear doubting Thomas, touch my side, touch my hands. There's the evidence. I once was dead, and I've now been raised to life. You know, the word covenant, when God cuts covenant. Do you know you often can look in your Bible and it says Old Testament, it'll say New Testament. Do you know you can change those words to covenant? So the Old Covenant is the same word as the Old Testament. Simply this, the testament is the testimony of what God has done, the testimony of what he will do. It's the testimonies of his nature and of his character. This is why we have a written testimony of who God is and what he's done. You see, what is an Old Testament? What do we see in the Old Testament? Simply this. Guys, we see the character of God. We see the dealings of God with the nation of Israel. We see how God dealt with nations who opposed or fought the nation of Israel. What do we see in the New Covenant? What do we see in the New Testament? We see the nature of God accomplished through Jesus Christ, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We see what Jesus has done as a testimony through the apostles. What he wants to do as a testimony through the church. This is why we have a written record, guys. Because let me make something very clear this morning. If it's happened once, listen to me carefully. This is what I'm passionate about. If it's happened once and it's recorded, do you know you have a legal precedent to make claim on that again? Let me say this again. If it's happened once, that's why God says, write down record. Here's a testimony, and I'm going to show you why. When there's a testimony of something, you have a legal claim. God, you've done it once, do it again. That's the power of testimony. But if you don't write it down, if you don't remember, here's the problem. You don't recall. That's why Paul says to Timothy, remind yourself of the prophetic words. Why? Because when we remind ourselves of what God said, you're able to fight the good fight. 2019, your prophetic words. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and your prophetic words are not fulfilled. Remind yourself again of the faithfulness of God. Remind yourself of what 2020 will be. Why? Paul says, remind yourself of the words so you can fight the good fight of faith. There, do you see what happens then? The word is the testimony. There's the spirit of prophecy. Remind yourself of the prophetic words. It releases a faith. Oh yes, why? Age to come breaks in. You see, healing. There's something so profound around the testimony of healing. We recently had a testimony of healing, and I want to, for those who are new here this morning, Teresa came to me a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I have a testimony that I want to impart this morning. I want to share around God, how God heals cancer. And I remember I was in worship, and Kim came up to me, and she said, Teresa's got a testimony. I've got my facts the wrong way. Jean went up to Kim, and Jean said, I want to be prayed for. And in the worship, in the prayer time in the morning, Teresa said to me, I've got a testimony of healing. And we felt to bring Teresa up. And she gave a testimony of how she had different parts of her body had cancer. Then she had cancer in the face. And how God supernaturally healed her. Then we felt to call guys forward for healing. Jean came forward, if it's okay to reference Eugene. Jean came forward for healing. Cancer on the face. You see, what happened was a testimony had gone out of God's power. This is why I want to talk about it. A testimony from here went out on God's faithfulness and God's goodness and how He desires to heal. A week or 2 weeks later, Jean came forward in the most incredible way, full of faith, and stood here and said, there was a testimony of healing. 2 weeks later, I stand healed. The cancer has been removed. So my question when I ask myself, and what's been burning in my heart for a while, is this thing. Why does God prioritize testimony? What's the reason? What's the purpose of discussing testimony? Guys, we want to see acts in 2020. We want to see the acts that God has called us to. The truth is this. The whole book of Acts is testimony. The whole book of Acts is, this is what He did. This is what Jesus. Jesus heals jailers. Do you know Jesus saves jailers? Jesus saves the Corneliuses. Jesus saves the Ethiopian eunuchs. Jesus does this. Jesus does that. Why? Because Acts is simply a testimony of what He wants to do again. Do you believe that? What's 2020 looking like for you? I hope it's not just to get to the end of 2019, sit on the beach and go, I'm a survivor of 2019. Could I say this respectfully and humbly? Yes, it's been a tough time for a lot of people. I'm not unaware of it. We have had challenges. In fact, a big, big tree fell on my office building wall yesterday, which caught me completely off guard. But no problem, I've already worked out. Because if life throws you a lemon, what do? You make lemonade. Well, when I was in the world, I used to say something different. But anyway, we won't worry about that now. You take out a lemonade. So already, with Brett, I've already planned how much firewood I'm going to have. Thank you, council. The tree fell into my property. I name and claim it. It's now mine. And I've got the most incredible firewood coming. Okay. Guys, we've had a tough time. I'm sure some of you have had really a difficult year. But I want to encourage you through prophetic faith. Guys, 2020, it's not about survival. Who wants to survive 2020? Who wants to rule and reign with Christ in 2020? Simply this, remind yourself of what God has done, what He wants to do, and that He will do again. Turn with me, please, Psalm 119, 111. I love this. Psalm 119, verses 111. Guys, this is something so precious. Look at this. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are joy to my heart. What does that mean? I think about Richard and Amy now. They're carrying a testimony of what God has done and is going to do. Amen. But how about this? Does Richard carry the testimony of Jonah? Does Richard carry the testimony of what God did to Abraham? You see, here's the question for all of us. And I want to make this a very clear point. Do you know this? That what God has done with Jonah, what God has done with Abraham, what God has done with Sarah, what God has done with Malachi, what God, whatever, on and on and on, Psalm 119 says this, your testimonies are my heritage forever. That means this, if God did it for Jonah, he can do it for me. You see, I think about ladies who are struggling to fall pregnant, and maybe here this morning, you're struggling to fall pregnant. First of all, I trust you are in a marriage, number one. That's key. It's very important. That's God's pattern. Marriage. Marriage. Number two, if you as a lady and as a gentleman, a husband, are struggling to fall pregnant, there's something that I have the faith for. And we've witnessed it. Katie and I have witnessed it. We've seen it. How many times in the Bible does God talk about a lady who was barren, a lady who could not conceive, a lady who could not carry? Here's an amazing thing. Remind yourself of the testimony. Remind yourself. We all talk about Sarah. Why don't you go look at Samson's wife? Samson's mother. Same story. You often don't know about that. Samson's mother. Go look at other ladies in the Bible who are not able to conceive. Amazing. Read the testimony. God did it once. He can do it again. Anyone here that right now you are battling to fall pregnant, you're married, or you're standing proxy for a married lady who can't fall pregnant? Is that anyone here? I want to pray now. Anyone who wants to be bold and courageous. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Pippa. Yes. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Standing proxy or for yourself. Anyone else? We've got three. Thank you. Yeah. Over here. Great. Church, close your eyes, please. Father, we come before you, Lord. And we look through the expanse of Genesis to Revelation. We look at how many times when a womb was closed, you opened a womb at the spoken word of your mouth. Father, I pray right now that as people are here this morning contending to have a baby, and our Father, I remind you with humility, it is your desire that we have godly offspring. That's your desire. That's what you've done. That's what you've created. I pray, Father, for those who are standing proxy, in the name of Jesus, that we would hear your voice, that Spirit of God, you would move, that the testimonies of old, the testimonies in the new covenant of how you've opened ladies' wombs that were not able to conceive, we, Father, this morning. As a collective, we stand in faith and we remind ourselves of the testimonies of Sarah. We remind ourselves of that which was impossible with man is totally possible with God. Father, we speak to the womb. We speak to the anatomy of the husband. And we say, in the name of Jesus, hear the word. Come into agreement, come into alignment with the way you've been created from the beginning. And in the name of Jesus, we ask for the release of your power, the release of your presence, and we look forward to the testimony of your faithfulness and your goodness. Amen. What does the word heritage mean? Heritage means property. It means inheritance. You see, maybe this morning you're facing a Goliath. Maybe there's a Goliath of illness. Maybe there's a Goliath of catastrophic financial failure. Whatever it is, you may be facing a Goliath. I want to remind you of a testimony. There is one who slays giants. You may be imposed by enemy. You may be under the onslaught and the attack of people, gossip and slander, know this, there's one who sticks closer than a brother. There's a comforter. I want to say this quickly. When Jesus went before his persecutors, why did he not defend himself? Why did he not put up his arms and fight? He was silent. You see, there's a wonderful scripture. Wisdom is proved right by her children. For someone here, if you're under the onslaught and the persecution of malicious slander, gossip, and lie, could I encourage you, don't defend yourself. Allow the wisdom, the fruit of wisdom, to be proven. Sometimes you need to be silent before your persecutor. Because silence has the greatest power. In fact, in heaven, there was a recorded 30 minutes of Chronos time. 30 minutes recorded of absolute silence in an eternal realm. Have you ever considered that? In heaven, an eternal realm without time, there was 30 minutes recorded of silence until the power of God fell. It's a beautiful thing. I want you to listen to this definition from Brown Driver Briggs around the word testimony. Listen to this. It means to return, repeat, go about, do again. Listen to the word of testimony. It means to restore. It means to relieve. It means to be restored. It means to bear witness. It means to say again, to bear, to testify, to call, witness, to invoke. I love that. When I testify of Jesus, can I tell you what you do? You invoke the move of heaven upon the present reality. How powerful is that? To solemnly warn, exhort, admonish, and charge. You see, we're so limited in our English language. And I'll tell you why. It's like, I love chocolate. I love Man United. I love God. I love my wife. We have love. You agree? But if you go to the ancient Hebrew understanding and the Greek word, they have different intensities of love, different purposes of love, and different audiences of love. So I can phileo Richard. That's love. That means I love him as a brother. Amen? That's phileo. Then I can eros. That eros love is a love between a husband and a wife. Then you've got the agape love, which is the unconditional love of the Father. So in the Greek, you've got multiple different understandings of love and intensities. Whereas English, it's I love. Now, the Hebrew meaning for the word testimony is the word eduth. But if you go to the root Hebrew word, and I'm giving a little bit of a theological discourse because I want to add some substance to it. The Hebrew root word is the word uda. Say with me, uda. Let's say it again loud, uda. Do you know, so that word, as I've just said, really primarily is do again. Do it again. Say it again. How many times are we going to keep reminding ourselves of the prophetic promises of God? Well, testimony is say it again. Testimony is do it again. If God has done it once for Abraham and Sarah, guess what? You have a legal claim in the kingdom to say, Father, you've done it once. I'm going to testify you do it again. The power of spoken testimony. You see, you could be sitting here this morning riddled with depression, riddled with schizophrenia, absolutely held bondage into addictions, into sin. How about this? When you hear the testimony of how someone's been healed, the testimony of how someone's been restored. Remember, the word testimony means to relieve. It means to restore. How about this? You can sit there and hear someone's testimony and walk into your own restoration. Be relieved of that burden and that bondage. Why? Because the testimony is of Jesus Christ. I want us, please, to turn. We've got a few scriptures, and I'm going to be done probably by around about 10:30. Turn with me Psalm 78, Fathers, mothers, I want to remind you of something. Absolutely key. Psalm 78. Why does God want us to talk about testimony? Psalm 78. Please, if you could turn with me to verses 5. 78:5. Let's go. He decreed the testimonies for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Teach your children so that the next generation would know them. And they in turn, look at this, and even the children yet to be born, they in turn would tell their children. They would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Look at this. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful. Here's the key. I'm going to stop there for a second. Here's the key. Fathers, mothers, we are not suggested. It's not a good idea. The Bible says, I command you, teach your children so that even the generation yet to be born may be raised in the testimonies of God, the majestic power, the move of his hand upon this planet in and through the person of Christ. Remind them why? So that will remain faithful. That they will be faithful. Look at it. Verses 9, it says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, they were ready for battle. Ready for battle. Armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. Look at this. They forgot what he had done. Let that sink in. Do you know how? Do you know why they turned back? Do you know why they disobeyed God's covenant? Simply this. They forgot what he has done. There's something so profound how the testimonies keep us constrained. A testimony keep us obedient. A testimony keep us faithful to the things of God when we remind ourselves of what he's done. Very profound. I want us to turn to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. And why am I laying this foundation, guys? 2020 is coming. There are greater new testimonies that God wants to give us. And there are testimonies that God has given you in 2019 that is required to carry you in 2020. Because if he's healed one person, he is no respecter of man. He doesn't like you any more than anyone else. He is no respecter of man. There is something in the heart of God when we respond by faith. And we say, God, this is your character. This is who you are. You're a God who heals. Do it again. Repeat it again. God, I'm going to keep saying it to you over and over. We often think God gets tired of our repetitive talking to him. Well, in the scriptures in Matthew, Jesus says, don't just sit there and babble, babble, babble. Absolutely, because that is not filled with faith or power. But there is something of the persistent widow that will not let go until God answers the prayer. And there's something so beautiful. There's attractive to the ear of God is the reminder, God, you did it for Theo. You did it for Lynn. Do it again. You did it for Roy. You did it for Sari. Do it again. That's the root Hebrew word is do it again. John chapter 1, John chapter 5, please. And we're going to go from verses 6. Do you know that God has a testimony? So Sandy's got a testimony. Jesus has a testimony. Do you know that God's got his own testimony? Are you ready? Let's go. 1 John 5, verses 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies. Because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, notice this, and there are three that are in agreement. We accept testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Do you want to know what the testimony of God is? It's about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. That's not a good thing to do, guys. Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. If you want to know what the entire testimony of heaven is, look at this. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. You want to know the testimony of heaven? It's simply this: the Son of God. The center of the throne room. Every eye, every creature, every angel is centered and looking at one person, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. I want to encourage you as we start to come to a close. I want to reference one more scripture. Guys, this is when it gets tough. When things get a bit tough. Turn to Mark chapter 8 with me, please. Mark chapter 8, verses 16. There's a wonderful encounter here that Jesus has talking to the disciples about the bread of the Pharisees. Mark chapter 8. It's interesting, and I take a bit of courage here. I don't know about you, but I can forget some things. Amen? I can forget the goodness of God. I can forget things. Right here in Mark chapter 8, Jesus has already fed the 5,000. He has already fed the 4,000. And right after this, the disciples clean forget. I take courage because there were some doffies as well that followed Jesus. Amen? Maybe you're with me as well. It says this, verses 16. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Because Jesus is talking about the bread of hypocrisy. Aware of their discussions, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Almost like this Ian interpretation of the Greek is, listen, you doffies. I've just taken 2 fish and 5 loaves. I fed 5,000. How many baskets were left over? 12. Does God have a problem with provision? Okay. I've just fed 4,000 people. How many baskets left over? 7. Does God have a problem with provision? Yet, we have no bread. We have no bread. Look what it says. It says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? See, guys, sometimes when I've got a hard heart, I've got an unbelieving heart. Christian, it's okay to sometimes have an unbelieving heart. Be set free. Now, there are times in my heart where my heart fails. Okay? There's times when I look down the road of something and I go, impossible. Can't happen. It's over. I'm done. God is not so nervous of your unbelieving heart as you think He is. But all He's asking is that you look to His believing heart. You look to His faith. Do you want to know how Jesus healed? Acts chapter 3. Do you know how He healed that man at the gate beautiful? He said, yes, bring your faith. Absolutely. But it's my perfect faith that will heal him. Jesus is not scared, guys, of you failing in the storm. Let me liberate you from this hyper-performance that everything's got to be perfect and wonderful. It's okay to fail, and sometimes God will allow it. Who's been there? Put up your hands. Be brave. Thank you. Yeah, that sometimes God will allow it. He doesn't cause it, but He will allow it, because as Peter fell in the water, Jesus said, don't worry, fear not. I will still pick you out. All He's asking is simply believe. Believe. You see, what is a testimony? Listen to this. That I hold the record. It's a quote from Bill Johnson. Listen to this. That I hold the record of God's intervention among people so close to me that they become the lenses through which I see present problem and challenges. In other words, we interpret them through the history with God. There's that heritage. This now creates lenses to see possibilities and not problems. The nature of God in every situation, this changes how we speak, how we praise, how we worship, how we think, and how we believe. We have the ability to steward the supernatural intervention of God so well that they become how we see and how we act and release God's prophetic move on this planet. Guys, you see, Psalm 119 says, the testimony that God has done with people, it's your heritage. It's yours. Guys, heritage means it's your possession, Theo. It means it's your lot. It means it's your portion. Because if God's done it for one, he's no respecter of man. He will do it again. Guys, when we hold to the testimony of Jesus, when we hold to the testimony of Jesus, it alters our lenses to which we filter every situation and problem. Becomes the lenses to which we look at God's faithfulness through his testimony. This morning, maybe, possibly, you're not seeing what God's doing. Because like me, there's times when my heart gets hard, it gets a little bit rebellious, gets a little bit unpliable. I want to encourage you, there's times if you don't see, and if there's times that you don't hear what God is doing, can I tell you there's something that you and me always get to do, we always get the privilege of. Jesus says, don't you remember? Do you remember the 5,000? Oh God, a little kid came with his lunchbox. Mommy packed him a little lunch for the day. Little did he know that that would be the provision to feed 5,000 people. Oh yeah, Lord God, I remember the 4,000. Why do I doubt God? Why do I doubt the power of heaven? Oh, remind me again. I can't conceive. My wife and I are battling. God, you did it for Rachel. Father, you did it for Sarah. You did it for Samson's mother. God, you can do it again for me. You healed that person. You set that person free. Do it again.